Good evening. Hope you're doing well. Today we're learning Maseches Bava Metzia Daf Memtes. As you can see, Memtes is not a small daf, but Nun is. So what we're actually going to do today is learn up to...
Grass is always greener.
Grass is not always greener, David, because yesterday the grass was Memtes. So, just because of my schedule today, we're going to be learning up to the Mishnah halfway down on Memtes Amid Beis, and then we're going to stop. And anyways, it's a clean break. Tomorrow's sugya is a mathematical complex sugya about ona, 1/6. Do we measure 1/6 from the cost of the item or from what the person spends? The chulin. So before we get there, what? I have no idea. I haven't even looked at the schedule yet, so I don't know. They sent it to me. I didn't look at it yet. You'll find out before then. We are 6 or 7 lines before the bottom of the page on Mem Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Lema Ketanoi, perhaps the idea that we began learning about yesterday, which is, if there's collateral, how do we view the collateral? Is the collateral representative of the whole payment, or is collateral representative only of the equivalent of the collateral? So the Gemara says as follows. Amal ves chavero al hamashkon, you lend me money, but it's on a mashkon to make sure that you can actually pay me back. The nichnasa hashmita, and we know that during shmita year that loans are canceled. So what happens in this case scenario? So says the Gemara, afal pi, even though it's true that as it relates to the mashkon she'eno shava el plag, that perhaps the mashkon is only worth half. Eino mishamet, we don't know what this means yet. Eino mishamet, the loan is not mishamet. What's not mishamet? The whole loan? Is it talking about half the loan? What are we talking about? That we don't know yet. If the whole cost of the collateral was, let's say you had a gold bar, but you needed cash. So the gold bar is worth $10,000, but I gave you $10,000. If it's all worth the same thing, then the loan is not going to be dissolved during the Shemitah year because the mashkon interrupts the hashmatas ksafim. That's the halachic jargon, is that we don't cancel a loan when there's a mashkon against it. But if the mashkon was not connected to the whole halva, then mishamit. So now we're going to start analyzing. We're 3 lines from the bottom. Mem Ches Amid Beis says the Gemara. My ena mishamit to ka'ama Rashba. In the beginning of this Mishnah, In the beginning of this Brisa, it seems, it said that that even though the down payment, the mashkon was only half, eno mishamit. That was what Rashba said. What does eno mishamit mean? My eno mishamit to ka'ama Rashba. It says the Gemara as follows. Ilema kinegdo, if you want to say that it just means that you're not, that piece is not mishamet, the other parts of the loan is mishamet, but the amount of money equivalent to the mashkon is not mishamet. Well, if that's Rashbal Shita, then Michlal, that implies Rabbi Donosi Savar Lahachpal Gamnami mishamet, that the loan would fall apart, all of it would fall apart according to Rashbag, even the amount that's equivalent to the loan. And that can't be because Ela Mashkon Denoki Lamale, the whole point of a mashkon is to ensure that there's a stability to the loan. So obviously, it can't be that the whole loan is dissolved if there's a mashkon. So that can't be the right way to understand Rashbag, because if we understand Rashbag as saying that the whole loan is canceled with the exception of that which is kinegdo, it implies that Rabbi Donasi holds that the entire loan is dissolved. That can't be. So on the top of Mem Tes Medal, top line, Elalav, Shmamine, it implies from the sheet of Rashbag that my Eno Meshamet to come on Rashbag, it must be talking about Eno Meshamet Bukulo. It must be that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel means to say that when there's a mashkon and we reach a Shemitah cycle, so then none of the loan is canceled, meaning the mashkon holds up the entire loan and the Shemitah doesn't cancel it. What then would be the Shita Reb Yehuda Nasi? He says that most of it is canceled. The part of the, let's say the loan was $1,000 and the mashkon was $300. So $700 of the loan is canceled and $300 is maintained. Really, here is the machlokes between Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and Reb Yehuda Nasi. The Reb Shimon ben Gamliel sabar keneged kulo hukone, that the mashkon is representative of the entire cost of the item. I have $1,000 loan. I have a $300 mashkon. The $300 mashkon is worth, halachically speaking, the entire value of the loan, in that when we enter a Shemitah year, the entire loan is not going to be canceled. However, Reb Yehuda Nasi sabar kenegdo hukone, it's only going to be kenegdo. So that is what the Gemara is saying, is that the machlokas we saw yesterday, by Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, where Rav said that a down payment is only kenegdo, is only worth its value. Let's say it's a $300 mashkon, so then anything beyond $300 is canceled. Rabbi Yochanan was the machmir and said that no, it's worth the entire thing. So maybe we have the same machlokas over here in the Tanoim. The Gemara says lo. That's not correct. When we say the word lo over here, what we mean is that the machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is not also a machlokas Tanoim. It's only a machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Why so? Why is that? My enu mashamet from a Rashbag. What is it that Rashbag said, meant when he said enu mashamet? So says the Gemara, lahach palgadanak telemashkon. It was like we initially thought. There would be a Hudanasi would the Reb Yochanan Reb Shimon ben Gamliel would hold that when we say Eino Meshamet in the Braisa, it means that if the mashkon is $300, so then we're Meshamet $700. We're Meshamet everything up to 1,000. But the 300 that's equivalent to the mashkon is not Meshamet. And that implies, Michlal says the Gemara, and it's posing it as a question. Wait one second. Michlal, that implies Rabbi Hudanasi Savar lach palga denakit lo mashkon, nami Meshamet. Says the Gemara, if we go back to answer number one, that really Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that Eino Meshamet means that the equivalent of the Mashkon is not canceled, but every dollar above that is canceled. That implies Reb Yehuda Nasi holds that everything cancels, that even the Mashkon cancels. And if so, a Mashkon denaki lamale. What's the value of a Mashkon? Isn't the Mashkon supposed to protect alone? That's like literally the whole point. But the way that we're understanding Reb Shimon ben Gamliel makes it that the only way to understand Reb Yehuda Nasi is that by definition, the entire loan is going to be canceled, even the value of the mashkon, which undermines the entire point of having a mashkon. Says the Gemara, really, you're 100% correct. And really, that even according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the reason why we do a mashkon is lezecher dvarim ba'alma. Oh, this is a whole different lumdus about a mashkon. So that's here are the two options. Either a mashkon is the kind of thing that it functions as a guarantee for a loan. I give you $1,000 in cash. And you give me a mashkon of $300, a mashkon worth $300. It's a gold piece, whatever the case may be. So according to the approach of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, there is a function in the mashkon, and that is that even if there is shmitas ksafim, there's a shmita of the loan cancellation in the beginning of the shmita year, but you don't lose out on the mashkon. Mashenkin, according to Reb Yehuda Nasi, you even lose out on the mashkon, and the whole point of the mashkon was not to have halachic teeth in regards to the loan, but rather just that it should be a reminder to pay the loan. We're about 10, 12 lines down on Mem Tesemet Aleph, three lines before the wide lines. Mar tells a bit of a story. Rav Kahana, Yavu Lezuze Akitna. There were people who gave Rav Kahana money to buy kitna, to buy flax. So they gave him the money, but he had yet to give them the flax. What was the din? Lisov, I care kitna. He sold the flax at $10 a bushel. And then the value of the flax went up to $15 a bushel. He no longer wanted to work with the first group. Can make a killing. You can make a mint. It's like, penny stocks. You keep, you're changing right and left, sell, buy, whatever the case may be. So he already did the sell. But as we know from the last many blot of Gemara, money alone, currency doesn't create a kenyan. So he was given money, but when the price is changed on the kitten on the flax, also lekame de rabbi went to go ask a shayla and asked if he could back out. Amar le b'may de nikitas zuze havlehu. Whatever money they gave as a down payment, so that is the amount of money you should give to them. Give it back to them, and then don't give them the flax. Says the Gemara, ve'idach dvarim denu. All the rest of the money beyond their investment is just words. U'dvarim ein bam mishum mechusare amanu. And just by saying words, if you then back out, that's not considered to be someone who lacks trustworthiness. That's not problematic. Remember, we said this yesterday, that the din of Aval Mishapara, the curse, as it were, only applies if you have Dvarim and Ma'os change hands. So over here, the only thing where the Ma'os was on the down payment, but everything beyond the down payment was just Dvarim, and therefore you're allowed to back out. D'itmar, because the Amoraim discussed this. And the Gemara says, what's the machlokas? In regards to Dvarim, when you have a case scenario where you want to back out, but all you have are Dvarim, all you have are words, Rav Itmar Ein Bahem, Rav Amar, excuse me, Ein Bahem Mishum Mechusari Amana. Rav says that when you back out, if it's only because of Dvarim, it's not a Mechusar Amana, it doesn't lower your trustworthiness. Rav Yochanan Amar, Yesh Mishum Mechusari Amana, disagree. Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that if you say something and you back out, even if no money has changed hand, you are now mechusare amana. By the way, that's pretty serious accusation. That means that if any of us have ever in our lives said something that we were going to do or not do, and then we did it, you're mechusare amana. You've now lost your trustworthiness. So says the Gemara. Now the Gemara asks on this machlokes that we have between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Let's review the machlokes Rav Rav Yochanan that we just learned, because it's going to be helpful to have it clear in our heads. If I say that I'm going to make a transaction with you and then I back out, Rav says you're still trustworthy, Rav Yochanan says you're not. Says the Gemara a quarter of the way down, three lines into the wide lines, Meisve, Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda Omer, Ma Tamal Omer Hin Sedek. This is a pasuk that is speaking about making sure that the weights and measure systems that we have, we know that that's a din d'oraisa. We have to make sure our weights and measures are in good working order. If you go to the stores, you'll see that they adjust their scales every once in a while. The springs lose some of their tension. They don't weigh perfectly anymore. So they have to make sure that they're all good. You go to the gas station, same thing. There's a stamp that says when it says that they actually pumped out a gallon. Did they really pump out a gallon? How do we know? How do we know? We have no clue. We don't know what's in the tank. We just know, was it 80? We don't even want to have no cheshbon. So we have to make sure that there's weights and measures. Halachically, that's our obligation. So the pasuk says hin sedek, but the Gemara wants to know, why did the pasuk say hin sedek? A hin, behalo hin bichlal eifa haya. A hin is part of the world of an eifa. It's a smaller measure. It's like a teaspoon being below a tablespoon. There's three teaspoons in a table. So obviously, they're all one and the same. So why did the Torah go out of its way to speak about a hin? So the Gemara has a drasha, four lines into the wide lines. When you say hein, that you'll do something, that should be just, that should be right, meaning you should keep your word. And velav, when you say you're not going to do something, you should also keep your word. What do we see from here? How can Rav say that ein b'hem mishum mechusare amana? If you back out just by dvarim, when you say you're going to do something, if you back out, how can Rav say you're not trustworthy? After all, based on the drasha of hin sedek, we said, Hein shel chad tzedek v'lav shel chad tzedek. Doesn't make sense. So the Gemara responds with a very important distinction in regards to this machlokas. Very, very important line. Amar Abaye, Hahu, when we say in the pasuk that you've done something wrong, of Hein shel chad tzedek v'lav shel chad tzedek, that you have to make sure that you're honest, that's Hahu, shelo yadaber echad bepe ve'echad b'lev. That's Pashat lying. I say the words that you want to hear, but I know it's not true. I say, Tex, I'm going to buy your car. I'm pashat lying. I have zero intention in my heart. That's not right. That's usser. However, if I was echad bepev echad belev, yes, I want to buy your car, and then the stock market changed and I lost the liquid assets to buy your, that's not a lack of yashrus. That's a curveball that the world threw you. But you're not a ramoy. You're not a trickster. That's the difference. The difference is that when you're just saying words that really are a lie, Pasha, you're a Russia, you're not a good guy. But if you're saying everything, it's MS, I really wanted this to happen. Nebuch, what can I do? My schedule changed, I had to take a flight, I had something happen. So under those circumstances, that's not where we say that you've done something wrong. So we tried to ask on Rav, and the question fell away. Let's go to the next question. Mesve, third of the way down. Rav Shimon Omer, Afal Pisha Amru Talis Kone Dinar Zohav, that if I make a kinyan on a talis, that forces the payment of the gold coins. And the ain dinar zav kona talis. And if I make a kinyan on the currency, that does not work. And mikol makom kach halacha, even though if it were to be true, it's also the halacha that there's a curse if you back down. What was that case that we just said? We said the ain dinar zav kona talis. We said that if I make a kinyan on the gold coins, it doesn't create a kinyan for the talis, but mikol mako kach halacha. What is the halacha in this case when you back out? The halacha is we get a curse. Aval amru misha para me anshe dar mava v'anshe dar flaga wasi di para me misha enui mobedi bura. We see over here that if you don't keep your word, if you say something and you don't keep your word, you're held accountable. Again, kasha and Rav. Rav said that if you back out from dvarim, his language was, let's find Rav's language. What did Rav say? Yesh bahem, ein bahem mishum mechusare amana. How could you say, Rav, that ein bahem mishum mechusare amana? Hareh, we see over here that the curse applies. Says the Gemara, you're absolutely right. This machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan about whether or not you lose your trustworthiness when you back out of something you say you're going to do is a tanoihi. It's a machlokes tanim ditznan, the Mishnah writes. Ma'atzer Rav Yochanan b'matya sho'amar. Libno, a man says to his son, Seva sachar lanu poalim, please go out and hire for me some workers. I have some work that I want done around the house, around the yard. Go find me workers. The son is a diligent son. He does his job. Halachu pasak lemezonos. He goes, and not only does he hire people, but he also says to them that we're going to feed you, a little bit outside of the parameters that the father was hoping for. When the son came home, he said, Tati, I did exactly what you wanted. Omar lo, the father says, Bini, my dear son, even if you want to try and treat these people like Shlomo Suda, this gala affair with five courses, you're starting with soup and then fish and then salad and then whatever, you all this robust meal. Lo yotzasi dechovas chaimam, shein ben Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. We have to treat a yid, we have to treat people like we would treat elevated people. There's no way to really fulfill them when you say that you're going to give them mizonos. This is a separate discussion. We don't have time for this now. But that requires some research also. Anyway, says the father to the son, before they start working, you should go say to the workers, actually, my father had a change of heart. I'll feed you, but I'm only going to feed you bread and peanuts or legumes. It's my kidneys. I love these gemaras that show up like right when we start cooking for the holiday. So kidneys is a big discussion. We're not going to fully jump in. It's an oddity in halacha because it really does not have a lot of similarities in its flours to what we're talking about by and large. Peanut flour, I'm just saying, like it's not terribly similar, but we're very makbid. We try to be very makbid, unless you're Sephardic, and then you keep halacha properly. So, yeah, that's true. It's too bad. It's a really good Passover treat, you know, for grandkids. So this is the story. The what? It's pizza. It's the same. It's straight up pizza. It's not 18 minutes. What's the problem? Nothing.
It's not. So,
okay. We just got to call Rabbi Raka. This is a very short conversation. It's not the... Stay there, but it's...
I am not going to hit
so it's square.
He's regular math.
$57 per square.
I bought Yehuda matzah for like $2.38 for 5 pounds. That's not for the Seder. That's not for Shmura, but it's for the cream cheese, for the Tempti. The cream cheese was way more expensive than the matzah. What? Matzah pizza. My brother-in-law, Jeremy, is makbid on Gebrach. He's a Ger Chassid. The Chassidim. My sister, that was rough. That was rough. Okay, anyways, we'll talk about families later. Says the Gemara, this is the Braisa, the story of the father and the son, right? The Isal Kadaitach Dvarim Yesh B'Mishum Chsar Emona. If you want to say that you lose your status, that you lose your trustworthiness when you back out, well, guess what? The son offered something already and then backtracked. But the father told him to do it. And the father was a Talmud Chacham. It was Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya. Heichi amar lei zil hadarbach. How can the father have told the son, hey, go back and change it? Just says the Gemara, that case is different. Shiny Hasam, the case where the son was representing the father is different because the Paulim gufayu lo samcha datayu. They knew the kid was a puppet. They knew he was foaming at the mouth. It didn't mean, it wasn't binding what he said. So therefore, the retraction wasn't really a retraction. My time. Well, what's the reason why this wasn't binding? Because may the yode de alavu hasamach. He was supposed to be relying on what his father said. Sometimes people say more than they're supposed to. He was a bit of an extrovert. He kept talking when he shouldn't. Yachi, if it's true that they're not relying on the son, then why did the father say that you have to tell them to this before you start the work? Afilu hischila b'malachanan. If they don't trust the kid, then they don't trust the kid. Says Gemara, no. Hischila b'malachav adai samchidat. Once they're starting working, that's the line in the sand where obviously the son was representing the father properly. Amr, they would say, Meimar Omar kamei de'avu v'nichale. It must be that the child said whatever the father wanted once we start working. Prior to the time that we start working, the kid doesn't know what he's talking about. We assume he's clueless. But once we start working, we assume that everything is binding at that point. The Gemara goes back and questions the Shita of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said that when a person backs down from something that they said, Rav Yochanan said on the third line of the wide lines, of Yesh Bahem Mishum Chusar Emanah, we assume they've lost their trustworthiness. The Gemara says two-thirds of the way down, Yom Rav Yochanan Hachi, did Rav Yochanan really say this? After all, Amar Rabba Babar Chanam Rav Yochanan, Amar Lechaber Matana Yosen Lach, I'm giving you a gift, Yochal Achzor Bo. Says the Gemara, if I say the words, I'm giving you a gift, I'm allowed to go back. Says the Gemara, Yachal? Pshita? What do you mean? I don't have to give you a gift. I'm not chayav to give you a gift. Ella, says the Gemara, of course you're halachically allowed to, but instead what we see over here is mutter lachzorbo. Not just that halachically it works, but it's mutter. Now, when we say that it's mutter to be lachzorbo, what does that imply? That implies that you have not lost any trust. Rabbi Yochanan, how can you say that yesh b'mishum mechusari amana? Rabbi Yochanan should not be able to say that in the face of this brisa, because this brisa says it's mutter to be chozerbo. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, Umod Rabbi Yochanan b'matanam u'etes t'samcha da'itayhu. When we're talking about a very, very small item, so then the samcha da'itayhu, when we have that small item, then you're taka not allowed to back down. You're not allowed to be chozer. For larger items, you're allowed to be chozer. And achanami mistabra, this is a very reasonable thing to assume. Why? The Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yisrael sh'amar leben Levi. I'm a Yisrael. If I say to a Levi, Kur Meiser Yesh Lecha B'yadi, I have something of yours. In other words, I'm going to be giving you some Meiser that you can have. I have to give things to a Levi. So once the Levi knows that it's coming, can he give what he needs to give to a Kohen? Says the Gemara, yes, he can. Ben Levi Rishoy La So, Trumas Meiser Al Makom Acher. He's allowed to say, I'm giving you, let's say, 5 bushels. You're allowed to say, I'm giving, let me do 10 because it's easier. I'm giving you 10, I'm a Yisrael, you're a Levi, I'm giving you 10 bushels. You, the Levi, can then give one of your 10 bushels as Meiser. You can give it to a Kohen, even though you haven't received it yet. In other words, there's basically a guarantee that when I tell you as a Yisrael that I'm giving you these 10 bushels, halachically, they're already yours, even though they're still in my possession. Oh, so it says the Gemara as follows. Iyam res bishlama lo matzi lemahader be mishumachli rishai. If you say that the Israel is not allowed to back down, it's a matana, right? If you say you're not allowed to back down, then I understand the shita as to why the Levi was allowed to allocate to the Kohen, even though the Levi didn't collect from the Israel yet, no problem. That makes sense. But if the Israel is allowed to be chozer bo, that's a big problem. Amai Rishai, why would the Levi then be allowed to give over to the Kohen? After all, there's a chance that I, the Israel, may never give it to him. If I never give it to him, then he's tithing the wrong thing. And if that's true, then we have a scenario where the Levi is eating tevel. That's a big problem. So says the Gemara, we're talking about a unique ukimta where he took the item, the Levi took the item, and then he was mafkited back in the property of Israel. Just an oddball ukimta. Yachi, if there is such an ukimta, ema seifa, then I don't understand the seifa. Nasna the ben Levi acher ein lo alav ela tar umos. So the end of the brisa says that if I take it, if I say I'm going to give a matana to Levi number one, and then I change my mind and give it to Levi number two, okay, I'm a jerk. What's the din? Ein lo alav, the second Levi only can have tar umos. He can complain, but he doesn't have a real taina for the actual matana that I was planning to give. If what you're saying is that we're talking about a case where the Israel gave something to the Levi and the Levi was remafked that with the Israel, if in fact the Levi took it and gave it back to me, then the first Levi has every right to complain because that's my pikadon. It's not just a miser for me. It's not just my Levi portions. It's mine. It's actually mine. You're holding my pikadon. It must be that he didn't take it. Shmamina. Says the Gemara, 10 lines or so from the bottom.
And we didn't take what? What was the conclusion?
The conclusion was that we see that there are case scenarios where the Levi did not, in fact, take it. The Ukimta that we had said earlier is that the Levi took the item. The Levi took the Yisrael's items and gave it back to the Yisrael. The Gemara proves from the Seifa of that Brisa said that that's not possible. It must be a case where it was lo natala, because if in fact he gave it back to the Yisrael, so then in the case where nasno leven Levi acher, it wouldn't have made sense that he couldn't get the item back. It must be, but the lo natala, where really the Levi never took it in the first place. It says the Gemara, Hu gavra the yoiv zuze ashum shemi. There was someone who was giving money for sesame seeds. Lisso. Let's say you gave me money for sesame seeds. It's $10 a pound. And Lesof, I care shumshini, market change, supply and demand. I have a lot of supply personally, but the market value went down. I am sitting pretty. Now I'm going to make an extra $5 per pound of every pound of sesame that I sell. So Hadrubahu, he went back on the deal. He canceled on the people. Even the people gave him money. You gave me the $50 for your 5 pounds, and I gave it right back to you. And said, thank you very much. We're no longer going to have a sale. Bamule, they said to him, Les lan shum shumi, shkol zuzcha. You're not going to have any sesame. Take your money back. Now, if I say that to you, let's say you're the buyer, you gave me $50 for 5 pounds of sesame, and then I tell you, I'm giving you back your money, but lo shokil zuze, I told you that, but you still left your money by me and ignov. And then during that time, between the time I told you that your money was going to be given back and the time that you collected it, it was stolen. Asu lekame de Rava, they went in front of Rava to ask a shaila. Amar le, he said as follows. What did Rava say? Kevan de amre le shkol zuzcha velo shaklis. Since the owner of the shumsham, the owner of the sesame, said to the buyer, I'm giving you your money back, you need to come get it, and you didn't take it back, lo mi baya, it's pashut. Obviously, the shomer sachar de lo have. Obviously, you're not a shomer sachar. Ela afilu shomer chinam nami lo have. You're not a shomer at all. So again, what's the case? You give me $50 for 5 pounds of sesame. I change my mind that I don't want to sell it to you. You're standing in front of me and I say, Yaakov, take your $50 back. And you choose to wait a little bit until you take your $50 back, and then it gets stolen. Not only am I putter because I'm not a shomer sachar, and not only am I putter because I'm not a shomer chinam, I am a nothing. And there is a fascinating Rashi over here. Rashi says, 10 lines from the bottom, afilu shomer chinam nami lo habe, veafilu pashu bishmirasan turin. Even if I was posheya, even if I was negligent in Shmira, I left your shumshum outside in my yard and the animals ate it, I'm completely patur. I have no din of Shmira by you. So this is an important idea to remember, is that there are four shomrim, but it's not absolute in that you have to be one of them. There are case scenarios in which you are not a shomer at all. This was a shaila I've shared here before, but I'll just review quickly. This was a shaila I brought to Rabbi Zeb Kohn in the Choshen Mishpah Kolo like 15 years ago. If somebody says, hey, here's my phone, take a picture, and they drop it and break it, what is the status of the person taking the picture holding my phone? Well, I'm not paying them. They're not a shomer sachar. They're not a shoel. They're not a poel. What are they?
Not a shomer at all.
Not a shomer at all. And therefore, they're completely putter if it breaks. But it's an oddity, because we would have thought that perhaps they're a shomer chinam. We would have thought that there's a minimum amount of behavior. They can't slam it on the floor. That's mazik biyadayim. But if it slips out of their hands by accident, they are 100% potter. Although the poskin, the pischei choshen, they're poskin that it's better for you to pay. It's an erlich for you to pay, but it's not a requirement. The language was that it was midas chasidus, I think was what he told me. That it's a midas chasidus to pay, even if you're not a proper shomer. So here's an example of that as well.
In this case, you're not a shomer, but aren't you machusar alon? They went up the price. You decided you didn't want to sell to me, right?
That's the next line of the Gemara. We're going to discuss this. Yeah, that's the next line. Okay. It's all connected.
You know why you're not a shomer? Because I don't trust you. You can't be a shomer. You have no trust.
Not because of that. Well, not in this case. Yeah.
Sort of.
It's kind of a joke. So Amrulay, they said to Rava, Amrulay Rabbanan the Rava, Baha boy le kibule ale mishapara. This guy is
got bigger problems.
Yeah, the guy, I had your $50 to sell you 5 pounds of sesame. The market went up. I'm a money hungry guy. I gave you back your money. Goodbye. I don't want to sell you for $10 a pound. I want to sell for $15 a pound. You've got gold. I want all my money back. Says the Gemara, Amar Lahu, Rava said, you're 100% right. Hachanami. This guy is again, the Chusari Amona, Lechora, it's the same thing as this phrase. They seem to be tied together. Amar Rav Papi tells a story. Amar li Ravina, that this whole story that we just said about the Shumshum, Lididi, Amar li Ahume Rabbanan, a rabbi told me this story, Rav Tavus Shemei, the Amar li Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Shemei, I don't know, says Ravina, if it was Rav Tavus or if it was Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, the Ihabu Yahavale Kol Chalola Da'alma, this person was so trustworthy that if they would have given him all of the riches of the world, all of the spoils of the world, Lo Hava Komishani Bidibure, he would never have changed his words. In other words, he would never go back on his words. So let's just create the case that the Gemara is describing. I sell sesame for a living. When I sold you an item, it was $10 an item. And forget about 15. It spiked to $1,000 a pound. Doesn't matter. This person is above the fray. He has no temptations like that. It says the Gemara, b'didi hava uvda. This was the story. Hahuyoma, there was a day. Apanya Hahuyoma, Apanya de Malev Shabsa, it was on Erev Shabbos, Hava, Bahava Yasivna, and he was sitting there. But also Ugavra Bakoya Baba. There was a man came knocking on the door. Amar Le, the visitor to the house, said, Isli Shum Shumi Lizbuni. Do you have the ability to sell me any shum shum, any sesame?
This is the story behind this.
This is version two of the story. It's not behind the story. It's the other version of the story.
Of the same story.
Of the same story. And the accurate version of the story, as we will soon see. Amar Li, the homeowner said, lo. Amar Amri Le, they said to him, no, I don't have anything for you. So Amar Li, Le havu hanach zuze bepikadon gabach, the hachashchali. Shoot, what am I supposed to do? I can't walk around with money. It's almost Shabbos. Can I be mafkid my money by you? Amri Le, what does the homeowner say to him? Habesa kamach, the house is in front of you. What does that sound like to you? It almost sounds like welcome to my house, but it really has a little bit of a more standoffish kind of halachic language.
I'm not touching that. Yeah. What he's saying.
That's what it sounds like.
The house,
like
do you want?
Let me say it like this: like my house is here.
I'm not touching it.
My house is here. In other words, code word: I'm not accepting shmira upon us. Is what it sounds like. So Osvinu Bevesa, he puts it in my house. I'm the shum guy. He gives me my money. He gives me his money just to hold on to for Shabbos. And my house gets robbed and pillaged, and all the money that you were mafkid in my house gets stolen. Also, the Kame de Rava. This is the real story. The previous story was incorrect. So they come to Rava. Amar Le, Kol, whenever a person says the language of Habesa Kamach, don't we buy a Shomer Sachar to Lohabe? Push it, you're not a Shomer Sachar. El Afilu Shomer Chinam Nami Lohabe. Forget it. Forget it. You're forcing my hand. I have no obligation to be your shomer. I'm going to be at Shacharis. I'm going to be in the Beis Medrash. I'm out to lunch. I'm going to Mincha Marav and Shal Shodis. I'm not going to be home. I'm not a shomer. He's a slacker. He's a slacker. He doesn't go to Daf Yomi. He goes to father-son learning.
But you have to take a prize to become a shomer, right?
You have to accept Shmira upon yourself.
He hasn't accepted the Shmira.
Right. Right, but what the Gemara is picking up on is the language of Habesa Kamach. And again, it's this like,
I can't stop you.
Can't stop you.
Right. But not.
But that's not accepting Shomer. Exactly. Meaning, I don't want you to break Shabbos, but that doesn't mean I have to become a Shomer. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help a brother out, but that doesn't make me a Shomer. I don't have to sit at home and watch it. There's no Shmir Ma'alia. And even if I'm Poshea, even if I leave it in the living room and I have a dog and the dog likes to eat money and he ate the money, it's not my problem. Even if I'm Poshea. That's crazy, by the way. Even if you're Poshea. Because Shia only applies by a shomer. It doesn't apply when you're not a shomer. Right? Amrele, they said to him, Baha Amrele Rabban on the Rabba, Ibaile Likbule Ale Mishapara. I don't understand. Maybe the guy was giving the money so that later he could buy the sesame, because that's really what he wanted. So maybe we should assume that there's a Mishapara case. Amrele, Lohayu Dvar Me'olam. You got the whole case wrong. That question never even happened, nor does the question even make sense. So the story's got all mixed up. And that's how we know that this is a true story. Next, we are 6-7 lines down at the two dots. We're going to be heading to the Mishnah in the middle of the page, and then we're going to stop. Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon Omer, Kol she hakesef yado, yado al ha'elyon. Cash is king. Whoever is holding on to the money, they are the ones who are the most powerful. And as we said, that once money changes hands, so the lokeach gives money to the mocher, but the item was not given from the mocher to the lokeach. In that case, as we saw yesterday in the Gemara, the mocher can be mevater and say, here's your money back. No problem. No problem at all. However, once the money's in the hands of the mocher, the lokeach can't complain and say, give me my money back. The lokeach can't do that. If I give you money to buy your car, you can decide to be mevater. But if I give you money for your car, I can't decide, hey, you need to give me my money back. It's a little bit like a motzi mechavero, a shtickle. It's a little bit like that. Tanya, we have a brasa. Amar Reb Shimon, emasai. When is this true that we say that kesef, kol kesef biyado yado al yona, bizman she kesef ve'aperos biyad mocher. When the mocher is holding everything. So when is the mocher holding everything? In the beginning of the transaction. You have the car, I have the money. If I pay you, you have the car and the money. And in that case, the mocher has the ability to be mevater. Avon, kesef biyad mocher, if I pay you, uperos biyad lokeach, and you give me that which I'm trying to buy, Enu yachal lachzor bo mipnei shekasbo biyado. You're not allowed to be chozer on that because the money has changed hand. Says biyado biyado, biyad mochar. What are you talking about? This is a regular sale. Of course you can't go back. The sale's over. Ela mipnei shedmei kasbo biyado. It's like, wow. What are you talking about? This whole scenario is like a rigmarole. This is just a regular sale. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara tries to be machadesh in the name of Rav Shimon. When do we say the mocher has the power? That's when I pay the mocher and he has yet to give me the item. But if I pay the mocher and he has given me the item, eino chozer. What do you mean eino chozer? That's the definition of a sale. I give you money, you give me the item, the sale's over. There's no chazara. No, nobody has any teeth at all. Pasha that the mocher. That's Gemara. Pshita. That's obvious. Omar Rava, we need to create a new kimta here. A quarter of the way down. Omar Rava, hacha b'maya skin, v'goshaisa aliyah shalokeach. Muskeres biyad mocher. Oh, okay, now we're getting into a little bit of a nuanced case, one that we wouldn't have thought intuitively. I rent the attic of your house, and I'm the lokeach, and you're the mocher. Taima ma'ita kin rabbanu mishicha. What was the original rationale? Why we said again in the Rabbi Yochanan camp that Mos Arkonos, in the camp of mishicha that Mos Arkonos, but midi rabbanu we require mishicha. So says the Gemara. Taima ma'ita kin rabbanu mishicha because gzer shem yomerlo nisfuchi techa ba'ali. We were concerned that without mishicha, and if I leave the item that I'm purchasing by your house for a few days, and God forbid there's a fire, so then I, the lokeach, lose out on my item. So says Gemara, hacha, birsuse de lokeach ninu. Here, it's in the property of the lokeach, it's in the attic, and enough ledleika be'ones, and if at no one's fault there's a fire, and then therefore if the item that I purchased had burned, I would have lost out, it was an ones, so then ihu tarachu ma'isila. In that case, we have a case scenario where the mocher would work very hard to put the fire out. One last story, and then we'll stop. Four lines before the Mishnah, we are on the last of the short lines. Hu gavra du'ev zuze achamra. He paid money for wine. L'sof shama de kaboy leminsebe debe parzak rofila. He heard that they wanted to take back the wine from Bay Parzak. Bay Parzak was rofila. What's rofila? Let's look at Rashi, a third of the way down. Parzak was Shem Hassar. That was the name of an officer. Rofila, Mishnah Lamelech. I don't think I've ever seen this word before. Rofila means you're second in charge. Anyone ever see this word before? I don't recall ever seeing it. I don't have such a good memory, but it still doesn't look familiar. Okay, so he said he wanted to back out from the deal. I gave the money for the wine. I want my money back. I want my money back. I don't want the wine. Just like we have Meshicha by the seller, and here you're allowed to return it because, remember, all I did was give you money for the wine. Had I done Meshicha, no Chazara. But because all I did was give you money, I'm allowed to do chazar. So we'll stop right here. We're going to pick up tomorrow night with the Mishnah. As you can see, Nun Amud Aleph is very short. And we're going to try to get to the Mishnah on Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph, by the end of the night tomorrow night so that we can have try and make some headway on Shabbos. The schedule on Shabbos Agado, whatever's in the announcements will be. I don't know the answer yet, but I'll keep you posted. Wishing you all a beautiful night.